Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the prince might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled in Daniel 6, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "This thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which a king establishes may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, upon him, because he believed in his God. I want to talk for just a little bit today about the key to being sane and spiritually sound in an insane world. I mean, we live in an insane world. Lester Roloff, I'm not sure if he's the first one that said it, but he was one that said it, that this is an insane asylum run by the inmates, this country is. And that's this world. It's run by the inmates. The people that ought to be put in subjection to truth are running things. Amen. They're out of control. But there's a way to be sane and spiritually sound in these crazy last days. I want to look at some things by the grace of God today. And the first thing, we'll look at Daniel. And in verses 1 through 3, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. So we see Daniel was seated in a position of power. Saved folks are in a position of power. We are living and shall live eternally in the power of the resurrection. Amen. That resurrecting power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is the same power we're alive in today. We are in a position of power for eternal purposes. We have the power of the Word of God to know God and to know truth. That's power. The Word of God is quick and powerful. We are in a position of power. We have the power of the Spirit to guide our steps. And we have, last but not least, by any stretch of the imagination, the power to pray. And the power to pray, not just a prayer to some generic God, not just a throwing out words hoping they hit somewhere or stick somewhere, and somebody somewhere out there in this infinity will get a hold of this and do something for us. We have the power to pray to the Creator. We have the power to get a hold of God Almighty. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can go boldly to the throne of grace, and we can call on Him for peace. We can call on Him for comfort. We can call on Him for direction. We are not powerless in this world, amen? We have that power. We have the ability. As a matter of fact, most of the people that are running this giant junkyard don't have that power, amen? They can't get a hold of God and have His guidance and direction. They can't get a hold of God and have the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. They can't have those things, but we can, because we have been placed in Christ, and in Christ we are seated in a position of power. Daniel was seated in that position. In verse number 4 it says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." He was seated in a position of power, and he was surrounded by enemies. Isn't that something? That's like today, we're surrounded by enemies. You say, well, there are enemies, they're after us. No, they're enemies of truth. They're enemies of truth, they're everywhere. They want you to bow down and worship man. They want you to bow down and worship science. They want you to bow down and worship a false god, if you will, or false gods. The enemies of truth are everywhere. And that's what was going on in Daniel's day. He's a child of the captivity, and God had blessed him and placed him even in a perverse situation. And the captivity of Babylon, God had placed him in a position of power. And he's still surrounded by enemies. The world today is the enemy of truth. Then he was set up by his enemies. See, the interesting thing about Daniel in verse 4 is they couldn't find anything that Daniel was doing wrong, because Daniel wanted to please God. That should be us. We should be beyond reproach. The world should look at us and say, I can't find anything that they're doing wrong. Amen? You see, you wonder what goes wrong with politics. I'll tell you what goes wrong with politics. Men are running politics without God. And then even the men that say they're men of God try to get in there and do things without God, and they end up with something, some fault or some error, and they lose their power. They have no more influence because they're drawn into the vortex of perversion and confusion and corruption. And that's what happens when man tries to run things without God. But Daniel, seated in a position of power, surrounded by enemies, then he was set up by his enemy. They were looking for something, and they couldn't find anything to get him on. So they wanted to get him on the law of his God. They wanted to set him up. We've talked about this before, but that's the way it is in the workplace. Isn't it funny, strange, not funny, ha-ha, but funny, strange, that you can get a job about anywhere in this world, and just about anywhere in this world that you work for another human being, they can tell filthy jokes and they can have filthy language, and that seems to be okay, and everybody condones it and puts up with it. But you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and nobody wants that going on. Isn't that something? And that's what they wanted there. They wanted to set Daniel up. They wanted to get him to stop serving his God. They knew he wouldn't, so they could destroy him. Eventually, that's what the devil would like to do. He would get to make it so you can't preach the truth, you can't have a Bible, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that, you can't preach about hell. And I'll tell you, you know, a lot of folks are on that bandwagon. They don't want to preach about hell. Nobody wants to hear about hell anymore because they're living like hell. If you're living like hell, you don't want to hear about hell, because then you have to realize you're going to go to hell. And if you have to trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you acknowledge that, then you have to acknowledge that, well, if he's my Lord and Savior, he is my Lord. And if he's my Lord, that means he's my boss. He lords over me, and I have to put myself in subjection to somebody that doesn't want me to live for the flesh. They don't want that. They want to explain hell away and pretend like there's no hell because they want to live like hell. They were after Daniel, and they wanted to set him up. And they'll set you up, too. The world will set you up. They try it all the time. We should be above reproach when it comes to that stuff. He was set up by his enemies. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He was set up by his enemies, but he was steadfast in his walk with God. No matter what goes on, we can be steadfast in our walk with God. So I don't know how crazy this is going to get. I don't know where this is going to end. This person's telling me this is going to happen. They've got a million coffins in Louisiana, and they've got internment camps and concentration camps. They're going to come after the Christians. They're going to take our Bibles. They're going to put us here. They're going to put us there. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Hogwash. They're not going to do anything God's not going to let them start with. And secondly, most of the stuff that you've heard about and been worried about over your lifetime never happened. Amen. And if it does, you're still saved. Amen. We can still walk with God. Daniel had a relationship with God and was not going to change even if everybody else did. And guess what? How many people got cast in the den of lions? As far as we know. So everybody else did. Daniel probably wasn't the only one praying before this. He probably wasn't the only one talking to God, trying to live for God and trying to do right by God, but Daniel's the only one that stood up and said, I'm going to stick with God. What I'm saying is, you can stick with God. You know, you've heard it, you know, probably in Vacation Bible School as a kid, dare to be a Daniel. Well, you can be a Daniel by developing good habits while things are good. And then when things are bad, you'll have those habits as habits instead of trying to develop things in the midst of the storm. Daniel prayed as he did aforetime. He already had that relationship. He already had the desire to get a hold of God and to thank God. And, isn't that something? And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He wasn't just calling out, asking for God to give him something all the time. He was thankful all the time. Here he is in a situation that looks bleak and looks terrible. And the whole world's like, oh, the whole situation. Everybody in that area says, you know what, we're just going to do what the king says to do because we don't go to the lion's den. Daniel said, no, I'm just going to pray and thank God. Just like I always did. Like I always did. You see, if you're not thanking him now, it's going to be real hard to thank him when the storm comes. Amen. It's going to be harder to make the list of things to be thankful for if you're not making it when the good times are here. Amen. But we like to focus on the bad things because this whole world, everybody wants to be a victim. Everybody wants to be a victim. Oh, I got it so bad. My lawnmower broke. I'm the same way sometimes, you know. My lawnmower breaks down. The truck's out of gas. You know, the need to oil change. The store don't have the oil filter. You got all this stuff going on. And, oh, poor me. And the truth is, I'm still saved. I can call on God and say, hey, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving my family. Thank you for a Bible-believing church. Thank you for a Bible. Thank you for folks that show up and want to serve you and love you. Thank you for saving my family members, my distant family members. Thank you for a bunch of people that get together that live in a wicked world that are trying to get out away from it and get something from you every Sunday and every Wednesday. I could got a whole list of things thankful for. Thankful, Lord, that I'm not in a box somewhere without an opportunity to glorify you today. Amen. Thank you they're not wheeling me into a cold place with a toe tag on right now. Thank you that I can get out on the street corner and I can preach Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. Thank you. I got all kinds of things I can be thankful for, but if I'm not thankful for them now, when things get tough, I'm not going to be thankful. And you won't either. We got a lot to be thankful for. Daniel was steadfast in his walk with God. In 11 through 13, I don't know if we'll read all those. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? You know what happened? He was sold out by familiar folks. Think about this. They're all leaders. They had likely had conversations about leading. They had likely rubbed shoulders and talked about certain problems and certain situations. These weren't people he didn't know. These were people he knew. And they set him up to destroy him. That's the devil. That's the devil. That's what he does. He wants to destroy. The best way, the easiest way to destroy is to divide and conquer. You know something I've noticed over the last year, and you all probably have too? The China virus comes along, everybody's supposed to wear a mask, everybody's supposed to do this and not do that. Do you notice God uses that to divide people? Or the devil did? God used it trying to unite behind him, but the devil used that thing to try to divide people. You realize when Hitler was destroying the Jews, their own neighbors were turning them in? You realize in some states of the United States, people were calling the authorities, telling them their neighbors are running around with that mask on?
Right.
Divide and conquer.
Right. Amen.
He wants to cause division. You realize born-again believers have been divided over this? Yeah. There are folks that believe what we believe about the Bible that don't walk with Christ the same way as other people, and they have been divided because they think that they, you know, their gun rights are more important than walking with Jesus Christ or this, that, and the other, and they're worried about everything but truth. The devil has used this to divide born-again believers against each other. We're supposed to be united in Christ. Amen. Like I said in Sunday school, make prayerful decisions and do what you think the Lord wants you to do when it comes to your health care and stuff like that. But let's not be divided. We're still united in Christ. Amen. So if Joe wants to get vaccinated and wear a mask until his eyeballs pop out and Jim doesn't, praise God, whatever. Just trust Christ.
Right.
All right, ultimately, we're going to get to heaven one of these days, and I promise you we're going to find this out. That it wasn't the doctors that saved you.
Yeah.
For eternity or in your physical life.
Right. Yeah.
It was God. How do I know that? Because God's good, and because you can take two people in the same exact situation and one makes it and one doesn't. God allows some things, He doesn't allow other things. God reaches down here in the muck and mire of this world and He touches somebody every once in a while and says, against all odds, and man, as far as man's concerned, and against all science and against everybody's belief, I'm going to do this and they're going to brag on me for it. And He'll just heal somebody up where it looks totally impossible. Brother Mac and I were just talking about that fellow Doug we've been praying for and him finally getting an answer from a doctor. We've been praying that God would not only get him to the right doctor, but a guy that had the wisdom from on high to find an answer. And it looks like he's found an answer. So, man, what a man. No, what a God. There were a whole bunch of people this fellow had been to before that had the same education this guy had. What's the difference? God answers prayer. God reaches down here every once in a while on this sin-cursed earth and He just touches somebody and says, look, I'm gonna do something spectacular so the doctors even. And you know something? When that guy's healed up, by the grace of God, I hope and pray He does heal him. But when he's healed up, the doctors are going to go, wow. Amen. Oh, there'll be a few folks, maybe even the guy that the guy that found the problem that goes, man, look. But the people are going to look and say, praise God. Praise God. Pride, envy leads to enemies. And that's what it was all over, pride and envy. They wanted to destroy Daniel. You know, the interesting thing to me is, though, Daniel was such a good man that the king had so much respect for him, he wanted to put him over everything. But do you realize when they went to him in verse 7 and said, all the presidents and king of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. And the king did that. You realize that not all the presidents and princes and governors had been consulted. Daniel, the main one, had not been. And the king did not look to Daniel, the man that he had all the respect for, the man that he was going to put over everything, the man that had been such a blessing to him. You know he didn't look to him. You know why? Because his pride got the best of him. He said, man, they could worship me for 30 days. Let's do this. And he didn't go to the one man that could have told him the truth. The one man that he had trusted. The one man that had been such a blessing. The one man that God had used to bless everybody that was involved in that captive situation. He didn't go to him because of his pride. You ever make a foolish decision because of pride? Nebuchadnezzar, or Darius did. A real foolish decision. But he was sold out by familiar folks. He was sent to the lion's den in 14 through 17. In 18 through 20, then the king went to his palace and fasted, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He was sorrowed over by the king. Because the king got him in a situation, himself in a situation, where one of the best things that ever happened to his leadership. He got in a situation that was almost certainly going to be destructive to one of the people who had been the biggest blessing to him. What I'm saying is, if we don't make careful and prayerful decisions, and we make decisions out of pride, we can cause somebody else to be destroyed. That's what Darius did. He's up fasting and praying. Not listening to music. He's wanting to get a hold of somebody to help because he put himself in a bad situation. A terrible situation. Bad decisions made out of pride led him to sorrow and potential destruction. In 21 and 22, even though Daniel had been put in the lion's den, in 21 and 22 it says, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they should have no hurt, that they should have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. You know the innocency is found in you now because Christ lives in you? God will give you the same favor he gave Daniel in a lot of circumstances because Christ is in you. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He was saved by the power of God. He was protected and saved by the power of God. By the grace of God. You're saved and protected by the power and grace of God. Amen. Look at Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, beginning verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So here he is, and he made a decision not to defile himself. You see, that king's meat is a representative of the things of this world. And he made a decision not to defile himself with the things of this world. Instead, he was going to trust God. Amen. because he did not defile himself, because he didn't take everything of the world in, he was able to survive when the lion's den came. He was able to stand strong when the lion's den came. He was able to stand steadfast and on point for God when the lion's den came. When he was looking, saying, I know that if I do what's right, I'm going to end up possibly being chewed up by the lions. So what, he said. How could he do that? How could we do that? How could we do that in the face of adversity here? You know, we got all these fearful things going on, all this fear-mongering, trying to scare us to death, and all the, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, they're going to take your guns, they're going to put you in a camp, they're going to gas you, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to do the other. How can we stand in these last days of craziness? How can we stay sane? By quit feeding on things of the world and start feasting on manna from heaven. I'm telling you, we've talked about this, and this is going to be, I don't know how long the Lord's going to lay this on my heart, but this has been heavy on my heart for the last several weeks. This world is a nut house, and it's not going back to the abnormal we knew 2 years ago. It's not going back. I seen a sign the other day that said, normal's not coming back, Jesus is. And that's the truth. Jesus is coming back. We didn't have normal 2 years ago. This place is a nut house. So, well, the virus changed everything. No, it didn't. It just showed everybody who really who. This place was a nut house for years. It's not any nuttier. But the devil wants to make you nutty. He wants to drive you batty. Batty with the coronavirus, amen. He wants to drive you up the wall. He wants to have you so scared and so caught up in CNN and all this junk and all the feeding from this world. The devil's trying to pump. And it's all the Antichrist. Darius and Nebuchadnezzar, there are types of the Antichrist in the Bible. And that's what the Antichrist is doing. His spirit is doing that today. He's trying to stir you the wrong way and trying to get you all upset and get you all focused on the things of this world and forget about eternal things so you can get caught up in worrying about whether you're going to be in a plastic box in Louisiana down there in a camp somewhere, and you're going to forget about your neighbor dying and going to hell. And one of these days you'll stand before Jesus Christ and you'll say, hey, you're saved. What about your neighbor? Oh, you were so worried because you were feeding yourself the things of this world that the world went to hell around you. Amen. I'm telling you that because I love you and I pastor this church right here. But the devil is destroying churches all over the world. And he's able to do it for the same reason a lot of people can deer hunt and be successful at it. I didn't do this. I like free range hunting. More challenge. But they'll put those feeders out there and they'll feed them and put the salt block out. And they'll get that deer used to coming around there. And they'll get that deer trusting for their food right there. You know what the deer's doing? He's not trusting God anymore. He's trusting the man that's putting the food out. Because what did the deer do before that? He trusted God. He didn't even know it. He just knew his needs were taken care of. He knew everything was going to be all right because he did what he was supposed to do. He went and ate. Now he's trusting the hand of man instead of the hand of God. If you go run a marathon, I don't know marathons. Obviously, I'm not a marathon runner, amen. I'm a marathon roller, amen. But I used to run a lot, but I'm not a marathon. 3 miles a day. Every once in a while, I'd run 10 miles, but I never run many marathons or anything like that. Never triathlon or any of that stuff. But if you want to do that, you want to make it, you got to watch your diet. And you got to watch your exercise. Amen. Folks, this is a marathon. This is not a mile run or a 500. This is a marathon that we're running here. You got to watch your diet. I had a patient over in Illinois, and a big old boy named Donnie. Donnie weighed 485 pounds, 6 foot tall. Whether he was standing or laying down, Donnie was 6 foot tall. Amen. Had to put him in the back. I laid him down on my adjustment table once. The electric one, and that thing was crying all the way down and screaming all the way up. So I took him in back, put him on a flat bench. I'm sitting back here talking to him, you know. And Donnie said, oh, Doc, he said, well, how do I need to lose a little weight? How do I lose some weight? I said, well, Donnie, I said, what are you usually eating today? He said, well, not that much, really. I said, well, tell me what you have. He goes, well, breakfast, I have some bacon, some eggs, some hash browns, some biscuits, maybe a little gravy. I'm thinking, well, there's a week's worth of food. You know, I didn't say anything. He said, well, lunch, I don't eat a whole lot. I might eat two sandwiches and a bag of chips. And he's not talking about these little Frito. He's talking about, and I'm thinking, good night, there's a whole day's worth of calories for even you, Big Don. And he said, supper, that's when I really eat. And I'm like, good night. Oh, you laugh. But the truth is, that's the way most Christians are. They don't realize they're overeating the things of the world. And they don't want to admit how much they're really eating of the things of God. Oh, Donnie didn't mention a vegetable in that whole mess. Amen. Unless a fried tater is a vegetable, I guess it could be. Cooked in vegetable oil. But that's the way folks are. If we're not careful, we eat all the stuff of the world and we're so caught up in the world and don't even want to begin to admit the truth of how much broccoli we had. Amen. You got to get the Word of God in you. You got to keep it going in you. And I know we talk about this a lot, but I'm telling you, for our own benefit as a church and for your own benefit as a Christian, this world's not going to get any easier to live in on its own. But it can be easier for you and I to live in it if we're feeding on the right stuff. In Daniel chapter number 3, we'll read a few verses there in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura and in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. They were three people that were Daniel in chapter number 1 that decided to not take the king's meat. Amen? And they were able to make it through this time. You see, the whole thing, the gold represents money. The image, a man-made God. And then you have the music. Money, a man-made God, and music. Do you realize that a lot, I mean, the whole world pretty much worships money. But a lot of churches that they call churches today are about money, and they use the music to get them to worship a man-made God. You say, well, you're not going to walk in there and find a golden calf. You're not going to walk in there and find a Dagon with no arms and stuff. That'd be funny, though, wouldn't it? Dagon, God just slap him, knock his arms off. But you're not going to find that stuff in their church. But you know what they're going to find? You're going to find, don't go to those churches, but trust me, you'll find this there. It's a man-made God. It's not a real God. It's not the God. See, the world used to want to conform to be in the image of God. Saved folks used to want to conform to be in the image of God. They used to really want to be, hang on to your hat, holy. They wanted to do right. But now they don't. The world has no interest in it, and most saved people don't. What they want to do is they want to make God like them. They live in a fantasy. It's not reality. We can pretend like God likes rock concerts. We can pretend like God likes rap music. We can pretend like God likes sin. And that we can just be happy in our sin. We can pretend. That is a fantasy. That is an illusion. That's of the devil. And I'm telling you that to tell you this. There's so much of that going on, we get drawn into that without realizing it. We don't serve a man-made God. You know what Nebuchadnezzar set up? Him to be God. And when we're serving a man-made God, you're serving yourself. You're worshiping yourself. If you think you're serving a God that allows and likes and takes pleasure in sin and wickedness and doesn't care if we're clean or not, doesn't really care if we're holy or not, you're serving yourself. You're not serving the God of that Bible. The God of that Bible wants us to be clean. The God of that Bible wants us to represent Jesus Christ right. Amen. We're in a dangerous time if we don't read that book and we don't try to get with God and walk with God and live for God and stand up on the truth. And hey, that solid rock, well, I'm on the solid rock. We'll standing on the solid rock. We'll sing the song, but do we actually live it? All of us. We are in a giant blender of evil. Just spinning around in here. That's all this world is. It's just a bunch of wickedness. You say, well, I don't want to be that way. Then quit taking in the food of the world and start feasting on the manna from heaven. I told you this last week, and I'm going to tell you again. I would really, really, hopefully and prayerfully hope we get this message across to you. Unhook from all the garbage and hook up to God before it's too late. You know, a lot of those folks that are in these fake churches doing these fake things in this fantasy world, they don't realize what they're doing. They're really blood-bought, born again, and the devil's drawn them into this mess, and they're thinking, man, this is great. I can just rock my way to heaven. No. God wants you to be clean. He wants us to be clean. Hey, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to wish you was clean. I'm not talking about being eternally clean by Jesus Christ. I'm talking about living a life that's clean. So I just listen to a little country music. You know, they say we listen to country music backwards, you get your dog back, your wife back, your truck back, and all that garbage. That's all it is about the lust of the flesh. It is. You can put a cowboy hat on it and whatever you want, but it's the lust of the flesh. There's a big difference in what these hymnal writers wrote and the filth that's being put out now. Amen. See, well, they mentioned Jesus. Well, so is the devil. He mentioned Jesus. He's not afraid to mention Jesus. He's not afraid to imitate Him. Matter of fact, He's going to do that one day on this earth. And the Lord's going to come back and destroy him with a sword out of his mouth. First John 2:16 says, for all this that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the eyes, there's the gold. Because what can the gold get you? Anything you see. You've got enough gold, you can get it. You can feed them eyes. The lust of the flesh, there's the music, that's sensual. It's all about the senses, it's not about the soul. And the pride of life, there's man making a God after him, his image. Remember what he said in Genesis 3? The devil told Eve, you can be like God if you just do what God told you not to do. Well, the only way you can be like God by doing what God told you not to do is to invent a different God. To create a fantasy to live in, which Americans like doing that anyway. Set up your own God, play by your own rules, and suffer the consequences. Or plug into the truth and read your Bible and pray. You're not going to overdose on it. It's safe. I read the label. Safe for human consumption. Amen? You can read that Bible all day long and all night long and it wouldn't kill you. Well, the flesh would start to die. Amen? And the spiritual part would start to raise up in strength. So one of these days, if there is a lion's den, or if there is a fiery furnace, so to speak, on this earth, you can stand. I don't believe it's going to get a whole lot worse before we get out of here, but I guarantee it's not going to get any better. I don't think that there's going to be an actual furnace. I don't think there's going to be an actual lion's den. Remember the Old Testament, we're looking at more physical, now we're looking at more spiritual. Hey, look, you're in the lion's den now. Everything around you wants to devour you. Amen. This whole world's full of things that wants to devour you. They want to destroy you. What if Daniel wouldn't have stood? What if he wouldn't have stood on God's word? What if he wouldn't have been steadfast in that time? It would have destroyed his testimony. If Daniel would have went around and said, oh, you know what, I'm just going to bow down and worship this, it'll be over in 30 days. It would have destroyed his testimony. Guard your testimony. Amen? Don't be like Donnie. Well, I don't really eat that much bad. He wanted health is what he was looking for. And he wanted help to find it. Well, don't we all want spiritual health? Amen? I mean, you should take care of your physical self too, but your spiritual health is more important. I'm telling you where to find it. I believe Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And I want him to be pleased with Gateway Baptist Church and every person in it when he comes back. Amen? And I don't want any casualties. I want to see everybody on board right in the middle of God's will. But you got to watch your diet. You got to watch your diet. Father, we love you. We just want to thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, what a blessing to be saved and sealed and set apart with the purpose of glorifying you. Lord, the crazier this world gets, the more we know you're coming back soon. Lord, help us to draw as close to you as we can and to feast on your word. Forget about the fear-mongering and all the junk going on outside your word. But Lord, anchor to the Prince of Peace so we can have peace. That we'd be found in your will when you call us out of here one day. And oh Lord, that Gateway Baptist Church will be pleasing to you and glorifying to you. That's my heart's desire, and I believe that's everybody here's desire, Lord. Help us. Strengthen us. Help us to stay sane and spiritually sound in these last days. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.